right through the pain. Our next speaker is Sylvester.
Hi, family. My name is Sylvester. I'm blessed with the gift of recovery.
Hey, Sylvester.
And it's truly by the grace of God that I stand here because I know today that His grace is my cover. And she did a beautiful job. Come on, we need to give her another hand. And, you know, while she was sitting here sharing, you know, God got an amazing way of how He would manifest and give you evidence. And then, not only that, He will show you that you right where you're supposed to be. And the topic, you know, everybody know, is growth through the pain. Now, this process can be really, 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 really hard if we don't know where the growth come from. And I know today that the growth, anything that grow, that's got to come from darkness to light, got to come from God. Now, that's easy said than done, because a lot of times, you know, while she was sitting here sharing, I was thinking about my last run. And, you know, when I first came to Narcotic Anonymous was back in 86. And I was able to stay here for about 8.5 years until I made a conscious decision to go back and use again. My clean date now is December the 17th in 98. And I thank God because I got more freedom and more peace now than I did when I first arrived. Now, somebody would say, now, understand something. You will hear me share, and what you will hear is my experience, my strength, and my hope. And I come here not to impress nobody. I come here to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that's what my assignment is. Not to get no claps, not to get none of that. If I don't stand here and move myself out the way, God's will won't get done. Because the spiritual part of our disease is our total self-centeredness, my arrogance, to want to impress, not knowing that it was me being impressed that got me in the place where I'm at right now. So I don't come to impress, nor do I come to try to get any brownie points. Because all of my brownie points is already laid up. Because I've been through too much to try to come here this morning and try to impress. I didn't think about what I was going to put on this morning, because I didn't come down here for that. I didn't come down here to find out where I was going to go and what I was going to do and who I was going to hang out with, because my assignment was already laid out. Because if you like me, when you come from the dungeons of despair, I'm talking about laying on the park bench after having some experience and know that this is where you want to be, but go to the opposite side anyway. What is it that lies so deep inside of me that will allow me to experience what freedom is and know that this is what I want, but know what the other side going to bring me, but go anyway? What is it that lies so deep? We come in here and we don't understand that we are driven. We are driven, not that I wanted to go, but I was driven by 100 forms of self-centered fear and delusions. And if you think your job and your job title and all of the stuff is going to hold you in this one, keep coming. Keep coming. And I just thank God for just being here today. You know, I thank God for just being here because he has allowed me and has spared me one more time. And I know that today that his grace is my cover. And I always like to read something to really kind of like set the tone to where I need to go. And in the basic text, on page 65 in the tradition 5, right at the bottom, it says, what is our message? The message is that any addict can stop using drugs and lose a desire to use and find a new way to live. Our message is hope, and the promise is freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that is all we have to offer.
That's it.
And going on with that, there's two things I want to read, and I'm finished with the book. It says the principle, it says, as addicts, we have trouble with acceptance, which is critical to our recovery. When we refuse to practice acceptance, we're in an effort to still deny our faith in a power, in a high power. Worrying is a lack of faith. Surrendering our will puts us in contact with our high power, who fills the empty places inside that nothing else could fill. We learn to trust God for help daily. Living just for today relieves the burden of the past and the fear of the future.
Oh, yeah.
We learn to take whatever action is necessary and leave the results in the hands of our higher power. Now, I got to share this last piece. It says, the Narcotic Anonymous program is spiritual. We strongly suggest that members make an attempt to find a higher power of their understanding. Some of us have a profound spiritual experience, dramatic and inspirational in nature. For others, the awakening was stubble. We recover in an atmosphere of acceptance, they go that word again, and respect for one another's belief. We try to avoid self-deception, of arrogance, self-righteousness. As we develop faith in our daily lives, we find that our high power supplies us with the strength and guidance we need. And I had to read that because it lets me know that I qualify to stand here. Some people look at me and they say, well, he sound like a preacher. Or he sound like this. See, this ain't about how it sounds, it's about how it saves. And if you caught up on a sound effect, you're going to miss the message of hope that God is generating right now as you sit in your seat. Because what I found out was that I could never understand Sylvester. I stayed out there in despair, sleeping on park benches after having some involvement in the program. I stayed trapped within myself. I had a sponsor who had working knowledge of the steps. I had people around me that I could go to and get help if I needed. But if you think being high off of drugs is something, just imagine when you high off of you and don't know it. Yeah, you running full speed on you and don't even know it. See, in order to build a relationship with God, you gotta have one with self. And see, and that's the thing that I missed when I was here the first time. See, what I'm saying is that I relapsed because I was converted but not convinced. See, there's a lot of people that get converted. Yeah, I know how to go to the dance. I know how to bop. I know how to go shopping. I know how to fill the void with people, places, and things that don't know, that don't need to be there. But what I don't know how to do is tell the truth about how I feel. Yeah. My story started, you know, before I even became an addict, I already had the signs at a very young age of being messed up. And see, and my addiction took off when I was about 7 years old. And I grew up with, it's five of us, and I'm the baby of the family, four sisters. And my mother raised us well. I didn't have a father figure in the household. And what had happened was, going to school, my mother, we would get up, and she would always give us money, extra money to really, you know, to go to school with, and she would always slip me some extra. And this particular morning, I got up, she gave all of us lunch money, and this particular money, I just decided that what she gave me wasn't enough. So what I did was I snuck in the bedroom, and I went in my mother's pocketbook, and I took some money that didn't belong to me. So when I got to school, the principal was waiting on me. See, because where I went to school and where I lived, it didn't take far. It wasn't long for my mother to make the contact, you know. You know. So when I got there, and back then, the teachers could chastise the kids. You know, the paddle with the holes in it, long rubber band coming out of it. You know, that kind of stuff. So what had happened was, see, I'm going here because, see, I got to show you how deep-rooted the pain is and how a human power can relieve it. So I got to go here in order to set the stage. So if you sitting out there and you can understand that if you is something, you know, don't just look at where you at right now. You got to go back. You know, you got to revisit some stuff in order to uncover some stuff, in order to accept some stuff, in order to feel the freedom of some stuff, and in order to, you know, allow the spiritual fruits to take place, you got to go through something.
Oh, yeah.
And as I got to school, the principal was waiting on me. And he said, I'd like to see you downstairs in my office. And I got down there, and he had my mother on the phone. And then all of a sudden, the phone hung up, and it didn't take my mother long to get from where I lived to the school. So when we got to the school, you know, and my mother asked me a question. She said, well, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you take my money? What, me? She said, I'm going to ask you another one. She said, I'm going to ask you again. Did you take my money? What, me? She looked at me and you know, and I, just by thinking that the fear would you know, just by seeing that paddle would motivate something. You know what I'm saying? But instead of it motivating, it kind of like pushed it a little bit, you know. And so, you know, she said, well, I'm going to ask you for the very, she asked the principal to step out. She said, I'm going to ask you for the very, did you take my money, Mom? It wasn't me. My mother said, before I take you upstairs in front of your classroom mates and pull your pants down and spank your behind, I'm going to ask you one more time, did you take my money? It wasn't me. My mother took me upstairs in front of my classroom mates, and before she opened the door, she had the paddle in one hand and the shoe in the other. And she said, I'm going to ask you for the very last time. Did you take my money? Ma, I swear for God, it wasn't me. So, and my mother began to cry. And today I understand where the tears is coming from. She really didn't want to whoop me, All she wanted me to do was tell the truth. And we got a disease that don't want to be exposed through truth. So what we do is we look for stuff to cover up, to make somebody think that we is and what we ain't. So what God got to do is set you up. So you can see yourself. So he will allow little girl to meet little boy. Yeah, he will allow, you know, for you to go and spend all of your money to just to dress nice for the convention. And then set you up later on so he can bring divine revelation. To show you that there's some pain still there, because if I'm going to spend my rent money, watch this now. If I'm going to spend my rent money to try to cover up the outside, when my primary purpose is to come and go to meetings and try to get a message to get better on the inside, you understand what I'm saying? Then I'm in much, much pain. Yeah, I'm in much pain. And what we got to understand is what our disease is made out of. And my disease is rooted in fear, insecurity, low self-esteem, that's controlled by codependency, that's housed with fear. It don't want me to tell the truth about stuff I'm in. What it'll do is it'll keep me in bondage. And it allowed me to go through the motions. Because see, when I was here the first time, people say that you relapse because you stopped going to meetings. But what happens when you go to meetings? Yeah, that's my story. So my story didn't come from not going to meetings. I was going to meetings, and the paradox of it was that God was allowing me to help everybody, but me and myself had become a castaway. Because what I'm saying is that even though what I was helping, I was missing the message for myself. Yeah, that's big pain there. That's big pain. So I thank God for being here today and being asked to share my experience, strength, and hope about growing through the pain, because I qualify to stand here and to share my experience, strength, and hope on that topic. Because I'm telling you, if you're sitting in here and you're going through anything, it's because in order for me to grow, see, I didn't know that I had to hurt before I healed. See, I didn't know that I had to go through a process of healing. In other words, I had to go through some other detoxification stages in other areas of my life. They told me, Sylvester, drugs is only a symptom. And what is my pain? My pain is discomfort created by disorder through disobedience. See, when I don't want to do what's suggested for me to do, then I do what I do, but then I complain about what I get. So what I need to do is not complain about what I get if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I do that because of my self-centeredness. See, I told you I was the baby of five. So that tells me that I was spoiled. And there's a lot of pain because I didn't have, you know, a lot of people in my life coming up. So I took to the streets. And I thought standing on the corner was the thing. And I had to be willing to, and I used to say to myself, I can't wait till I get from under my mother's household. And see, And it's hard to grow up when you already grown. It's hard to even receive anything, because what God had to do when he brought me back, my sponsor said something when I got back. See, I didn't change sponsors because there wasn't nothing wrong with the sponsor. Wasn't nothing wrong with the sponsor. Wasn't nothing wrong with him. And what I found out, he told me this. I said, man, what happened? He said, Sylvester, either you find out what happened or you go again. I say, what? He said, either you find out what happened or you go again. Now, I just come from this time, the dungeons of despair. Now, I wasn't trying to go back there. So I immediately, so what he said, you don't need more information. You need to process what you already have. I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, this is what he told me. He said, either you find out what happened and go again. If you don't find out, you will end up going right back to where you just come from. He said, what I need you to do this time is that I need you to go on the inside. I said, go on the inside. Didn't I do that the first time? He said, no, you relapsed because you never surrendered. Oh. What you mean you never surrendered? I mean, I was here for 8 years. I was here for a whole lot of years. He said, man, you wasn't even clean. You was just absent. What you mean? And when I looked up the word clean, the word clean means removal of dirt. So you talking about you clean, but you ain't removed no dirt. So therefore you just absent. You understand what I'm saying? You just absent. Don't you talking about you clean? Well, ask yourself, how much dirt have you removed? Since we like to use that word a lot, we clean. Well, the next time, get mad enough and go get you a Webster's Dictionary and just look up the word clean. Somebody say, oh, that nigga think he know what he's talking about. Yeah, get mad enough and go get you a Webster's Dictionary and look up the word clean. It means remover of dirt. If you don't remove no dirt, then I'm just absent. I'm just existing. And what he was telling me, he said, don't stay here this time and die internally. So what I had to do was, I had to find out. And what he was saying was, he said, you are afraid to grow up and be who God is calling you to be. And I say, well, why you say that? I ain't scared to do that. He said, I said, and this is what I hit him with. I said, I ain't scared to do that. He said, well, yes, you is. I said, well, how you know that? He said, because, you know, I said, I I'm in church, I'm doing this. He said, so what? He said, church ain't nothing but a hospital for sick folk. Do you know what arena you in? That messed me up. Because, see, I like to find stuff to justify why I'm in situations that I'm in. So I use outside forces to put a label on it that make me feel whole. Not knowing that everything on the inside, what I'm looking for, the spiritual fruits, are already on the inside. What are they? Peace, joy, freedom from active addiction, not drugs. Freedom from active addiction, not drugs. And then I had to understand that the worst addict is not a practicing addict. The worst addict is an addict with a whole lot of information with no foundation, with no application. Don't forget that. The worst addict ain't the one using. The worst addict is an addict with a whole lot of information, with no foundation, with no application. This is an inside job. And so when they talked about growing through the pain, I got to be willing in order to let something die in order for me to live. And what I'm saying is, I was attached to a lot of stuff when I got here. And I was afraid to let it go because what it was doing, it was delaying my process of growth. You know, like relationships. When we get into them, we know it's over. But we'll hold on to it. And we won't, and let me say that, let me back up a little bit. Anything that can't stand up on its own two feet means that it's already dead. God done already did his job. Well, what do I mean by it? See, I'm the kind of guy that would like to take something that's dead and hook it up to a life support system. Yeah. See, what I want to do is, I want to hook it up to a life support system so I can keep the thing generated, you know what I'm saying? But it ain't operating off its normal juice. You understand what I'm saying? It needs something else to make it work. And you never actually grow through that. You ever never feel the pain of growth until you actually, you know, pull the plug. Somebody in the room right now going through some stuff and they know they need to let it go. You understand what I'm saying? They just hooked up to the life support system. When you gonna pull the plug? When you gonna pull the plug? You need to pull the plug. When I say pull the plug, I mean go ahead and let's have this burial. It's time to have a funeral. Yeah, it's time to have a funeral. Because when the funeral is there, you understand what I'm saying? It makes room for the master to appear. And when the master appear, you understand what I'm saying? What he does is that he refocuses and gives you what you was looking for all the time. So in closing, I got three things. I got four things and I'm going to take my seat. It's three things, but the fourth one, it's going to help you. Because I know it helped me. The first thing is, you got to understand, the first thing is, your pain is not punishment. It's only there to get you to the next level. The second thing is that it's not prejudice. Don't care nothing about who you are. In order for God to get you to the next level, you understand what I'm saying? You've got to deal with some pain in order to get there. It's not punishment. It's not prejudice. And guess what? It's not permanent. It's there only to establish the outcome of what God has already done in your life so he can reassure that you are able to have the character to hold on to what he got for you on the other side. You understand what I'm saying? And then the last one is that all three of them have this purpose. And in order to have the purpose, you got to have a plan. And the plan is that God will give you exactly what you're looking for. This gift of recovery did not come from man. It came from God. And if you don't believe it, check your story and you will see where God had a shield on your life. That you should not have been here, you should have been there. So I thank God for just the process of what he done already did in my life. You know why? And I'm closing with this. This gift you can't pay for. And you got to understand this. You only have a minute. Only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon you. You didn't choose it. You can't refuse it. It's up to you to use it. You will suffer if you lose it. Give an account if you abuse it. Just a tiny little minute because eternity is in it. And I want to thank you for that.